WBIG Aurora Naperville.
God bless you and welcome to the Solution Radio Show. Thank you for joining me today. I'm Greg Backus. Jesus Christ is the solution for all the situations you and I might find ourselves in. He is God's solution for all mankind for all time. He stated in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ, He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. He is the one who makes a difference. He made a difference in people's lives 2,000 years ago when He lived and walked among people, and He makes a difference today because He was raised from the dead and He's seated at God's right hand in the heavenlies. I trust that Christ Jesus makes a difference in your life today, that you see the tremendous love that God has for you, that you come to have a deeper and more full relationship with God as your Heavenly Father, that you see your purpose in life is far above the day-to-day circumstances of life. God's love knows no bounds for you. We have a very exciting program today. We'll hear some wonderful music, we'll read some of the Bible together, and in the second half hour, our guest interview is with minister, broadcaster, and author Ben Kinchlow. Ben will share with us his heart and wisdom. It's an interview you won't want to miss. Why don't we start off with this song by Lisa Tracy, Put Your Trust in God.
You think you can't, you don't feel equal to it, can't seem to find the strength to do it. You're tired of trying on your own and feeling like you're all alone. Demands are made, time runs out, you're in a hurry, you're starting to doubt. But stop, time to take a breath and say, I will walk with God today. Put your trust in God, He's your only one. Put your trust in God, you can go to Him, cast your care on Him, for He cares for you. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart. Put your trust in your care on Him, for He cares for you. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Put your trust in God. He's your only one. Put your trust in God. You can go to Him, cast your care on Him, for He cares for you. He cares for you.
This morning, we're going to look at the topic of how God is light. Think of the last time you may have walked into a totally dark room and turned on a light. When the light comes on, the darkness flees. You can see where you're going. Can darkness ever extinguish the light? No. Can the darkness ever chase away the light? No, it's not possible. Light will always remove the darkness. We know this is true in the physical realm. Every night when the sun sets in the west, we experience that reality when we come home into our homes and turn on the lights. What else does light do? Well, it allows us to see clearly. It lights our path so that we don't stumble or fall. Light enables us to not get hurt. I remember once walking into a totally pitch-black room at work. I knew the light switch was about 20 feet away across the room. I began to walk toward the light switch, not knowing there was a pile of boards in the middle of the room. I tripped and I fell. Thankfully, I was not seriously injured by the fall. I eventually made it to the light and turned it on, and I could then see the danger in the middle of the room. We know the benefit of seeing in the light in the natural realm. You know, it's no different when it comes to spiritual matters. There is a very real spiritual world. In the spiritual world, there is both light and darkness. If you have your Bible handy and want to follow along, we'll start out here in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. It says, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." God is light. There is no darkness in God at all. In our society and culture, both light and darkness are attributed to God so often. We'll hear people say that God made someone sick to make them more humble. Or when someone dies, they'll say that God took them home to be with Him. Or that great storm that brought devastation upon a city, well, that was God's judgment upon that city. All of that thinking is a lie. It is not true, not if God's word is true, because God is light. In Him is no darkness at all. Sickness, death, and devastating storms are all darkness. God says of Himself here in 1 John that we just read, He is light, and in Him is no darkness. For thousands of years, God's arch enemy, the devil, has been a master at hiding and deceiving. He has convinced people that his dark works are the work of the one true God. The light of God will dispel, it will eradicate the lies of darkness. Here is the light of God's Word. We just read it. The light of God's Word. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. God does not bring sickness, death, or storms. Jesus Christ said that He always did His Father's will. If we look then at what Jesus Christ did, we can know the will of the Father. We can know the will of God. Let's go to the Gospel of John. And here in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, and verse 28 is where we'll start. Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 28. "Then said Jesus unto them, When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He, and that I do nothing of Myself. But as My Father has taught Me, I speak these things. And He that sent Me is with Me. The Father has not left Me alone. for I do always those things that please him. Here Jesus Christ said that the Father was always with him, and that he always did the things which pleased the Father. So if we want to find out that which we can attribute to God and to the works of his light, then we can look at the works of Jesus Christ. Let's look at some of those works. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, and verse 23 is where we'll start. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all the sick people that were taken with many diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them." There we can see the works of Jesus Christ. He healed all manner of sickness. He healed all manner of disease. Still in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 8, and verse 16, "When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and he healed all that were sick." He healed all that were sick. He didn't tell any of those individuals, "Nope, I can't heal you today. It's not God's will." No, he healed all that were sick. We see the will of God through the life of Jesus Christ. Look at the Gospel of Luke in chapter 7 and verse 21. Luke 7:21, "And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them," verse 22, "Go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached." Once again, we see God's will for his people. We see God's will for the people of the world, that they be healed, that they be delivered. Matthew chapter 8, if we go back to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 8, once again, two more verses, a couple more verses I want to look at there. Verse 23, "And when he," Jesus, "was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but Jesus was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose, and he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" We can read record after record after record in the Gospels of the works of light that Jesus Christ did. He always did his Father's will. He did only that which his Father showed him. He healed the sick, he raised the dead, he calmed the storm. Never did Jesus Christ ever make someone sick to make them more humble. Never did he ever kill someone to take them home to be with God. Never did Jesus Christ generate a storm to bring judgment upon a people. Jesus Christ always did the Father's will. God is light. In him is no darkness at all. Let's look at the book of Acts chapter 10 and verse 38 of chapter 10. "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who," Jesus, "went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." There it's clearly evident. Sickness, death, storm is oppression from the adversary, God's archenemy. It is darkness. God is light. In him is no darkness at all. In the book of Acts chapter 2, we just flip back a couple pages. Verse 22. This is Peter speaking, and he says, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God, among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know." The things that Jesus Christ did were approved of God. God showed his approval of the life of Jesus Christ by raising Jesus from the dead. God approved of the healings, the raisings of the dead that Jesus Christ did. God approved of the calming of the storm. Let's look at Psalm 119. Psalm 119, probably the longest psalm in all of the psalms, and it's a great psalm because I think almost every verse, if not every verse, mentions the Word of God. And Psalm 119, verse 105 says that Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God's Word lights our path for living life. It shows us what to think. It dispels the darkness from the crevices of our mind. It will make manifest the lies that maybe we've believed at one time or another because of what we've heard through the world. God's Word will cleanse our hearts. It's that Word that is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. Well, you know, why would it be so important for us to guard our thinking? Why would it be crucial for each of us that we allow the entrance of God's Word to shine in our minds and in our hearts? Let's look at Proverbs chapter 4, just after the book of Psalms. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. There's some tremendous truth here in Proverbs. It says, "But the path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day." Verse 19, "The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble." Verse 20, here's some of our key verses, 20 through 23. "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them," God's word, "not depart from your eyes. Keep them," keep God's word, "in the midst of your heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." Verse 23, "Keep your heart with all diligence. For out of it," out of the heart, "are the issues of life." That word "keep" there in verse 23 means to guard, to guard your heart with all diligence. And that "with all diligence" literally could be translated "above all that is kept," above all things else. So we're to guard our heart. How might we guard our heart? Well, we'd guard our heart by controlling what we allow into it by what we think. Keep our heart, guard our heart with all diligence. For out of it, out of the heart, are the issues of life. The issues of life, then, well, that's who you are. That's who I am. That's why it's so important for us to guard our thinking. That's why it's so important for us to put on the light of God's Word and to read that Word and to meditate on that Word and to talk to our loving, gracious Heavenly Father about His Word. And He will open the eyes of our understanding as we look to Him and as we read that Word and ask Him to illuminate unto us the great truths and the great wonderful goodness that He has for each of us. Let's go back to the Gospel of John and chapter 12, and verse 42 is where we'll start. John chapter 12. "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on Him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess Him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue." Verse 43, "For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." Don't ever live for the praise of men. Live for the praise of God. Men, boy, they will turn on a dime. God is steadfast. God is faithful. Verse 44, "Jesus cried and said, He that believes on me believes not on me, but on Him that sent me. He that sees me sees Him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believes on me should not abide in darkness." Look at what Jesus Christ said of Himself. He is a light into the world. And whosoever should believe on Him, believe regarding Him, believe His words, should not abide in darkness. "And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejects me and receives not my words has one that judges. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that His commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, Even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Jesus Christ was the light that came into the world. He is the one that made known the Father by his works, by his deeds, by the words that he spoke. And his life dispels darkness. God's word dispels darkness. We have so very much to be thankful for that we have the privilege to be able to read the word, and not only to read it, to be able to understand it, and for the Spirit of God to work within us and to teach us the great heart that he has for his people. And we see that through the life of Jesus Christ, how he always healed people, he raised people from the dead, he calmed the storm. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Our guest today is a minister, broadcaster, author, and businessman. He served 13 years in the United States Air Force. He has been actively involved in a drug and rehabilitation program in Texas, and he founded His Place, which is a ministry to teens. He has authored several books. Today he is a commentary contributor for WorldNetDaily.com, and he also has his own blog and podcast. Most of us know him through his role as co-host on the 700 Club for over 20 years on the Christian Broadcasting Network. I'd like to welcome Ben Kinchlow. Ben, thank you for joining us.
Well, Greg, thank you. It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me on your program today.
Oh, you're welcome. Can you tell us a little bit about your background and when you first became a Christian?
Yes, you know, you mentioned the fact that I had been in the Air Force for 13 years. Well, I joined the United States Air Force with the express intent of staying in for 20, or actually I want to say for 30 years, but I joined with the express purpose of staying in for 20 years so that at the end of that time I could get out, get my retirement, then I would get a secondary job and kind of live out the rest of my life at ease doing some of the things I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
But in the interim, Greg, some things happened in the United States. The civil rights movement began to take place, and there was a guy who came on the scene who represented the black Muslims. His name was Malcolm X.
Mm-hmm.
And I began to listen to what Malcolm X had to say, and then after having been overseas many times in the Air Force, I was shocked, or I don't want to use the word shocked, but let me just say I was dismayed by the fact that overseas I could be treated like a human being, but when I came back to my own country, the country whose uniform I was wearing and had sworn to protect, treated me like a second-class citizen.
Mm.
And so at the end of 13 years, I got out of the Air Force to join the Black Liberation Movement.
Oh, wow.
I also went one step further, Greg. I said, I'm going to go to college, and I'm not going to be just one of these guys off the streets. I'm going to go to college. I'm going to get a degree. I'm going to make some money. I'm going to be a minister, not for Christians' sake, but because in the black community, black ministers get a lot of respect, and I thought, that's what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I became more of a Malcolm X follower than even a follower of becoming a minister, and so I just went wholehearted into the Black Liberation Front.
Mm.
But in the midst of this, while I was having probably the worst time in my whole life, I met an individual, like someone I'd never met before. He was a brown belt in judo, and I taught a karate class on college campus, and he was my assistant. So one of the things that happened, he and I started talking, and to make a long story short, I discovered there was something about this guy that was not like anybody else I'd ever met, although I'd gone to church all my life. And one day I asked him, I said, John, what makes you different? Why are you not like the rest of these white people? He said, I have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Well, now let me ask you, girl, how do you have a personal relationship with first cause, infinite mind, evolution? How do you, we're talking about a personal relationship with God. And I asked him that, John, mm-hmm. how do you have a personal relationship with that? He said, through Jesus Christ. Now, all of us have heard about Jesus most all of our lives, but I never met anybody who talked about him like he was real and right there. So one day, driving around at 80 miles an hour, testing tires for General Tires, I asked this God, and I said, God, if you are who John says you are, and you can do something in my life, I said, then come into my life and change it. I said, but, wait, if all you've got is religion, you can keep that. But it wasn't religion that he brought. Jesus Christ came into my life, and he instantly and totally transformed me. That's what it means to be born again. Suddenly, I fully understand what it meant to be born again.
Wow, that's an awesome testimony. That is really, really cool. You know, when Jesus Christ came into your heart and when you got born again, at what time in your life did you really first know that God had called you to minister then to his people? Was there a defining moment for that?
Instantly, I knew that I knew some folks like me who needed to know what I know to transform their lives, because I know a lot of black revolutionaries, and that wasn't the answer. They needed what I had, but I didn't have the ability to communicate that. So I asked John, and John didn't know, but he did know some other Christians, and I asked them, and they said, well, what you need is something called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So I read the scriptures, and sure enough, it talked about power, giving these guys the ability to go out and talk about Jesus and change lives. So I said, well, how do you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit? They said, well, you ask him. So again, I was driving a truck, and I said, Lord, if you can give me the baptism of the Holy Spirit, whatever that is, give it to me. And he did, and he baptized me in the Holy Spirit. And from that moment on, I never let an opportunity go by without telling somebody about the reality of this individual who had transformed my life and gave me the boldness to talk to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, see, most black people at that time thought Jesus was white. And if you ever see a picture of Jesus, he's always displayed as a white male with long hair and wearing a dress.
Right.
So that wasn't what I was looking for. But now I knew who he was. I knew the truth about him. And so with the baptism and the power of the Holy Spirit, I was able to go and tell people, look, this is what makes the difference.
That's really wonderful. And just to see the hunger that you had to know God and to know his son, Jesus Christ, and how God is always faithful to give what we ask for from him according to his word.
You know, Greg, I think everybody is hungry to know God.
Mm-hmm.
They're not hungry to know religion, but they really are hungry to know ultimate reality. And they're trying to find ultimate reality. This is one of the reasons kids do what they do. They're trying to find out what's really real. Well, the only thing that's really real, the ultimate reality, is God. And the only way you can have that is to have a personal relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes the difference.
Yeah, that's so true. And that sort of ties into the next question that I had here. I recently listened to an interview on the internet that you did last year at the Black Conservative Summit's Leadership Initiative. And you made a statement which I wholeheartedly agree with in that interview. You said that Christianity is not religion, but rather Christianity is how God intended for us to live. Can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Well, what I've actually said was that the Bible is not a religious book. Christianity, biblical Christianity, is different from regular religions.
Mm-hmm.
Because almost every group, every culture has a particular religion. Christianity is not a religion. It's about a relationship. It's built on a relationship with God. In fact, if you look at the Bible dispassionately, you see that depending on which translation you read, there are five or six references to religion. And of those five or six references, there's only one positive reference to religion. And that clearly points out that God himself is not a fan of religion, because religion is man's idea of how to please his concept of God. I want to say that again. Religion is man's idea of how to please their concept of God. Whatever somebody thinks their God is like, that's what their religion will reflect. So if you want to know what somebody's religion is, you want to know what somebody thinks their God is like, look at, study their religion. So Christianity is a relationship with the living God through the person of Jesus Christ, activated by the Holy Spirit. So it transforms your life and makes it different from all other religions. And then God says, now, go out and live this life this way, and let other people see the reality of a personal relationship with me through Jesus Christ.
That is just so great to know that we have the privilege to have a personal relationship with our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. Wow.
That's exactly what it is. It is a privilege.
Yes.
And it is open to everyone, but God will not force that upon you. Like certain religions, I studied to become a different kind of religious person for a while when I was just studying the black Muslims. Well, that's forced upon you.
Mm-hmm.
But with Christianity, it is not. It's a matter of you voluntarily saying, I surrender my life to you, Lord Jesus. Live your life in me. And he does. He comes in it. And then you get to live every day in obedience to and in conjunction with the Word of God, articulated in the Bible.
Well, what a great life that makes available.
Oh, does it ever.
Yes. Now, Ben, for many of us, and I include myself in this, we first met you through the 700 Club when you co-hosted that with Pat Robertson. Is there an incident during that time? I think you were there almost 20 years or maybe a little more than that. Is there an incident during that time that maybe stands out in your heart where you really saw God work mightily in a situation?
Yes, sir. There is a very true one, and I've seen a lot of things happen with God working. But one of the most, I guess, the thing that stands out most of all Virginia Beach and this area, the Tidewater area, used to be called Hurricane Alley. Well, not long after the CBN finally got on the air and we got a little rinky-dink station with one little dish to broadcast on, that a hurricane, as usual, in hurricane season, was coming through Virginia Beach. Now, we knew that if that hurricane came through Virginia Beach, it would destroy, would have blow down our antenna. We didn't have any money, so that would have been the end of the Christian Broadcasting Network. So with the hurricane headed this way, we got to seriously, earnestly seeking God and praying and saying, God, you said whatever we would ask you would do, and we're asking you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pat went to a meeting down with some guys at the Full Gospel Ministries Fellowship, and they prayed, and we prayed, and we said, God, turn that hurricane away from Virginia Beach and let it go out to sea. And believe it or not, the hurricane that they had forecasted to hit us turned. They were at a loss to explain why, but it turned and went out to sea, and from that moment on, another major hurricane never came back through CBN. Whenever one would start this headed this way, Pat would say, let's pray, and we'd get out and pray, and sure enough, the hurricane would turn to go out to sea. So that was probably one of the most outstanding things that I remember.
Wow, that's great. What power and authority we have to use the name of Jesus Christ.
You know, Greg, if we could grasp that in our everyday lives, it would revolutionize the life that we are called to live. It would revolutionize our lives, and we'd be just like those people that you write about in the book, because they're people like us. God didn't call theologians to preach the gospel. Mm-hmm. He called fishermen, tax collectors, laborers, working men. Those are the people he called, and that's who he's calling to us. And that's why he said, now, all of you, go out and let people know the reality of a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And how do they know? Check me out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're a great example for us to read in the book of Acts and in the Gospels to see how they gave their all to do what their master said, to preach the gospel, to go out into all the world and make disciples. So
exactly, but more than that, it was the people who were born again, whose lives were so transformed that even after the disciples left, after the apostles left, the church continued to grow because people saw the transformation in their life. Mm. A lot of people that I knew when I was a black Muslim, when I got saved, they came and asked, what's wrong with you? That was the same question I asked John.
Right.
What's wrong with you? Well, it's not what's wrong with me. Now it's what's right with me.
Right. Oh, that's awesome. Today you write for WorldNetDaily.com, and you have a blog and a podcast as well. I've read a couple of your articles, and I really enjoy you display a great deal of wisdom in the things that you write. And what do you see today from the Bible's perspective, you know, in this world today? What's the greatest need for God's people?
What is, in my opinion, what is missing is, if you go back and read the whole New Testament from the time that Jesus came, from John the Baptist, John said, look, you watch for the one who's going to come, and he's going to show you the way. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so when you watch his life, and then you go through the rest of the New Testament, you find these apostles who lived that life in the book of Acts and what they did. But then when you go to read the letters that were written back to the, quote, ordinary people by these apostles, they'll tell you how this is how we are supposed to live. This is how we're supposed to treat one another. This is the way that God wants us to live so that we can demonstrate the reality of Jesus Christ to the world. There is, you know, Greg, believe it or not, there's one principle. And when Jesus reduced it down, and if you don't pay attention to it, you'll miss it. But Jesus reduced the whole law down to just two things, and even reduced even further. The whole of Christianity, all of it is reduced to one single thing, but it doesn't just apply to Christianity. If we all would do this one simple transcendent principle articulated in the scriptures, you cannot imagine what a wonderful world this would be. And here's that principle. treat other people the way you want to be treated.
Mm-hmm.
The King James Version says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So, if you don't want someone to insult you, don't insult someone. If you don't want somebody to rob you, don't rob anybody. If you don't want somebody killing your people, don't you kill anybody. And can you see what a trend, what a transformation that would be to the world if just the Christians, if just the Christians live that way? Can you imagine what a difference that would make?
Wow. Well, it'd make a huge difference.
Oh, my goodness.
Things would be much closer to the way they should be, or the way God intended them to be for his people, that's for sure.
Yeah, exactly. If we would just demonstrate that one principle, I think it would be that would be the greatest need for God's people to do, is to, to demonstrate the reality of Jesus Christ in them by treating other people the way you want to be treated.
And that really just comes down to imitating God, like it says in Ephesians 5, and walking in love.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Now, we have to define love, because remember, we use words differently than God used words.
Mm-hmm.
So God used the same words because he was introducing us to things, but he had to use the same words that we were using, right? So he spoke to us in our same languages.
Mm-hmm.
So when he used the word love, we have one definition of love. Oh, I just love pancakes, or I just love McDonald's, whatever it is. That's not what he's talking about. Or when you say, I love so-and-so, no. You have to go back and read what the definition of love is.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, 1 Corinthians 13 gives you the scriptural definition, the biblical definition, God's definition of love.
In closing, is there something on your heart today that you'd like to share additionally to what you've already shared with our listeners, just to encourage them to stand on God's word, on the truth of his word, despite these, what I consider to be, you know, we're at a crossroads in a lot of respects in this country and around the world. And is there an encouraging word that you might have for God's people today to help them to stand through any adversity and stand for the truth of God?
Well, today, people are honestly looking, they're earnestly looking for direction, especially our young people. And there are people who are trying to find out what is real. Is there anything real? I mean, and that's why they do drugs and alcohol and all these various other things, because they don't know what's really real. And if I would say one thing to the people, is this. The Bible talks about that we have in our lives the life of Jesus Christ made manifest in our bodies. So we live so that the life of Jesus Christ might be made manifest or open or clear, available to people in our mortal bodies. So people are looking for a way to make life make sense, no matter what comes down the pike.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we are supposed to be about. And if I'd say anything to the Christian community today, it's let the reality of Jesus Christ shine through your life in everything. Go around treating other people the way you want those people to treat you, and don't let yourself be pulled off that course.
Amen. That's awesome. Thank you. Would the easiest way for people to get a hold of you, I guess, would be through your website, and that's where your articles, your blog is posted, as well as podcasts?
Yes, sir, it is.
Okay, and I'll put a link up to that. It's, I believe, www.benkinchlow.com, and I'll put a link to that up on the website as well.
And they can also go to ben@benkin.us.
Ben, B-E-N, at B-E-N-K-I-N dot U-S. Okay.
Yes, sir, you got it.
That's your email, so they can reach you that way if they'd like as well.
Right, and they can also go to my website that same way.
Okay, awesome. Well, I'm so thankful.
People have trouble spelling Kinchlow. I have trouble with that.
Ken keeps it nice and short, makes it easy to spell. Excellent. Well, I really appreciate
you. Thank you very much, Greg, for having me on your program, sir. It was an honor and a privilege.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate you being here today. God bless you.
How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first
Ain't life great what a way to be. It's God in Christ and it's Christ in me. Ain't life great? Oh, we'll have a ball. It's all for one and it's one for all. Ain't life great? Ain't it great? Ain't life great? You know, there's a lot of people out there and they're searching for the truth. They need someone for to teach them. They need someone just like you. You know, the world is getting darker, and we can lead them to the light. Until they make the word their own, until they know that they know that they know that it's right. It ain't life great? What a way to be. It's God in Christ and it's Christ in me. Ain't life great? Oh, we'll have a ball. It's all for one and it's one for all. Ain't life great? Ain't it great? Ain't life great? Ain't it great? Ain't it great? Ain't life great?
Life is great, isn't it? Boy, it sure is when you've got God in His Word and know the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful interview there with Ben Kinchlow. So thankful for his time to share his heart and his life with us. And also that song there was by Gino Meldrum. And then before that we heard Chris Tomlin, Amazing Grace, and Ken McCaw, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. I want to close with a couple verses here in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." We can have the mind of Christ as we put the Word on in our thoughts. Verse 6, "Who being in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God or to agree with God. He made himself of no reputation, and he took upon him the form of a servant, and he was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." What a wonderful example he is to us of his obedience to his heavenly Father, obedient all the way unto death. He believed that his Father would raise him from the dead. He gave his life so that you and I could have life today. And it goes on here in Philippians to encourage us in verse 12, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out or demonstrate your own salvation, your own wholeness, with fear and trembling." And that fear and trembling is better translated respect and obedience. "For it is God," verse 13, what an amazing verse this is. "It is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." God works within us to will and to do of his good pleasure. Verse 14, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings." What are those things we're to do without murmurings and disputings? The things that God works within. What an amazing privilege. What an awesome, awesome, wonderful truth to know that the Creator of the heavens and the earth works within us to will and to do of his good pleasure. Verse 15, "That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." Remember, we read how God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Well, we have his light shining in our hearts and in our lives, and we are the ones now that shine as lights in the world, just as Jesus Christ did, just as he walked, just as he lived, just as he healed people, just as he raised the dead, just as he calmed the storm. So you and I can do the same. For we are the lights in this world, and we have the power of God available to us through the name of Jesus Christ. And we have all the authority behind that name. Verse 16, we're to hold forth the word of life. The Apostle Paul says that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. For it is God who works within you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. In Ephesians chapter 2, another one of my all-time favorite verses, verse 10, For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. We're God's workmanship. We're created in Christ Jesus. Well, what part is created of the body, soul, and spirit? It's the spirit. That's the part that's been created. Well, we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. What are those good works? Those good works are the things that the Spirit of God works within us that we read in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. Those are the good works that we're to do, which God has before prepared that we should walk in them. As God's children, we are children of light, and we shine as lights in this world as we make known the will of God, as we walk by His Spirit, as we do as the Spirit directs our heart, as we allow God to work within us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. We have so very much to be thankful for, and I'm really thankful that you took some time to be able to join us today. All of the Solution Radio shows are archived at thesolutionradioshow.com, where you may re-listen at your convenience. There are also links to the websites of our guests, our musicians, and our sponsors. Also on the website, there's a page for upcoming events currently listed. There are links to the Believers East Coast Weekend in Maryland, and that's July 3rd through the 5th. And then there's going to be a Young Believers Weekend, and that means 20s and 30s only, so I guess I'm not going to be able to go to that one. That's in Naperville, Illinois, July 24th through the 26th. If you have an event that you'd like to have listed, certainly can send us an email at info@thesolutionradioshow.com, and we'll put that up on the website so people can be aware of it. A reminder that the Praise Line is open 24 hours a day, where you may call in and give a testimony of God's working in your heart and life. The number there is 844-705-3410. We'll play some of those testimonies in upcoming shows, and when you call that number, it's a recording, so you just leave your testimony. You don't have to leave your name if you don't want to. Just share the greatness of what God has done for you and how He's working in your life. This past week also I received back from the printer two pamphlets, You Are Righteous Now and The Solution. If you send me your mailing address, I'll send you one of those free of charge. I'd like to thank you for listening today, and especially thank you for your prayers and for your support. The Solution Radio Show is listener supported. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 9002, Naperville, Illinois 60567. Send us a note. We'd love to hear from you. Also, there's a donation link available on our website at thesolutionradioshow.com. Thank you to our sponsors, the Carter Group, Mortgage Springs in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and Morningstar Computer Training and Consulting. Visit our sponsors page on the website to find more information about each of those sponsors. Thank you very much to our engineer today and production support of Bill Albecker. Have an awesome rest of your day. God bless you. You are God's very best.
News, information, and talk for the Fox Valley. The Big One, AM 1280, WBIG, Aurora, Naperville.